Dankie dat jy ingeskakel is by die senders van Radio Kansel en ook by Radio Hartklank. Net is ons nuwe platform waarop ons uitsaai en dis 'n heerlike voorreg om saam met te kuier. My naam is Janie Pelser. Hierdie program se naam is Perspektief en ek vertrou dat ons saam kuier vandag vir jou ook sommer baie sal beteken. Onthou dat die programme van Radio Kansel, ook hierdie program Perspektief, as 'n potgooi beskikbaar is sodat jy dit met vriende en met ander belangstellendes ook kan deel. Nogmaals baie dankie dat jy ingeskakel is, ook aan Paul wat vir ons help met die tegniese versorging van hierdie program. Dis my heerlik om my gaste te verwelkom en dit is altyd 'n hoogtepunt wanneer ons bietjie met mekaar kan skouers skuur en ek as die heel eerste luisteraar, 'n eerste luisteraar by hulle kan wees. Ek verwelkom vir Reverend Molson Klaa. And he's currently the General Secretary of the Evangelical Alliance of South Africa, is ook bekend as TESA. En dit is heerlik om saam met u te kuier, Reverend Molson Klaa. Welcome and thank you so much that you have made yourself available.
Baie dankie, Janie.
En dan kuier ek saam met Dominee Jan Lubbe en hy is die moderator van die Nederduits Gereformeerde Kerk in Suid-Afrika. 'N Voorreg om saam met u te kuier. Hallo Jan.
Hallo Janie, dag sê ook aan Reverend Mos en Dominee Heidi, dis baie lekker om julle weer te sien.
En ons gesels met Reverend Heidi Peterson, and she is with the United Congregational Church. She's also the chairperson-elect of the South African Synod of the UCCSA. And Reverend Heidi, thank you so much for making yourself available.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
Mooi so. Nou, collega's, ons gaan vandag met mekaar saam kuier rondom ons gemeenskaplike roeping hier in Suid-Afrika. Dis 'n wonderlike voorreg om deel te kan hê aan hierdie baie spesiale omgewing waarbinne die Here vir ons geplaas het hier aan die suidpunt van Afrika. Suid-Afrika staan bekend as 'n Christelike land. Die meerderheid van sy inwoners identifiseer ten minste met 'n Bybelse lewenswyse. Dit beteken nie dat almal noodwendig ewe ernstig is oor hulle geloof nie, maar ons kan daarom op mekaar appel maak oor 'n gemeenskaplike vertrekpunt en basis. Christene in Suid-Afrika word hoogs verteenwoordig deur 'n groot verskeidenheid denominasies. Spiritualiteit verskil soms dramaties, maar dis die kruis en die opstandingsboodskap van Jesus wat in alle situasies natuurlik sentraal staan en sentraal moet staan. So die kerk in Suid-Afrika, sy roeping gister, vandag en ook môre. En dit na aanleiding van 'n groot bijeenkoms wat gehou is in die onlangse verlede, eintlik maar sommer net gister, eergister, nee, Sondag die 22ste Junie, daar by die Grace Bible Church in Pimville, Soweto, en dit was 'n dag van gebed, the National Day of Prayer, georganiseer en gefasiliteer deur die Suid-Afrikaanse Raad van Kerke. And the theme was confronting the past, building a reconciled society for restoration and dignity. En die fokus natuurlik het gegaan oor sake soos reconciliasie en eenheid in Suid-Afrika. Just to get us in the right frame of mind, I'm going to ask Mpo just to play a short insert, just a little bit of music to get our hearts tuned.
Vir die lewe op 657 AM.
Nou belydenis was 'n kernmoment gewees van die bijeenkoms daar in Soweto. Confession, spending time to confess before God what is wrong and to pray for his forgiveness. Ek wonder, kollegas, kan ons net so 'n bietjie by wyse van inleiding gesels oor die belangrike plek van belydenis, confession. Why is it so important that we confess before God what is wrong, not only in our own personal lives, but also corporately as a nation in South Africa? B- before we get to specific issues. And perhaps Reverend Heidi, you can start us off and dan kuier ons lekker saam met mekaar. Kom ons praat vir 'n paar oomblikke net oor hierdie ding wat nie eintlik baie naby aan ons is nie. Ons kleinkinders het gisterand gekuier. Nou knou die enetjie die ander kind die anetjie nie af en hulle is nog maar klein, hè. Nou sê mamma, sê jy's jammer. Maar jammer kom nie uit daai mondjie uit nie, nê. Om jammer te sê is baie moeilik. So let's just share with us the importance of confession as part of our daily walk, also as individuals. Reverend Heidi?
Yanni, my response is going to be based on a real life experience that I've had. I was asked to facilitate one of the TRC sessions that we had under the guidance of Reverend Desmond Tutu. Great. And in that, one of the critical aspects that came out of that TRC facilitated session was the value of confession, perpetrator, and victim. What it allows for in terms of restorative justice is for us to be heard in terms of the suffering that we are enduring, and it allows for us to acknowledge that which has caused pain and hurt, and to find from that hearing and acknowledgement a restorative path to move us forward. And so for me, confession plays an important, valuable role in restorative transformation. A second aspect in relation to it has to do with the profound moral, political, and religious significance that it holds for us within the context of agitating that which has caused us pain in the past and leading us into a place of how do we move forward and go together, where we heal and where we recognize that wounds and scars are still with us.
Nou ja, ons gaan ons taal sommer lekker meng vandag. Ek het juist met Reverend Mossen klaar gereel. Ek sê, as dit 'n vreemde taal is, die Bybel sê, dan wag ons vir interpretation. But if it's a language we can more or less identify with, we're gonna allow that. En ons gaan net lekker gemaklik. So, Reverend Moss, a confession, en die belangrikheid daarvan.
Yeah, I agree fully with my colleague Reverend Heidi. I think that she put it in a national scale, but part of my praying at the meeting was in relation to family, and I think even in the family environment, the brokenness in the family is precisely because people do not know how to say excuse. I've messed up here, and I confess and I repent from what I did, whatever it is, and I commit to a different future. I think that there are many people who are caught up in all sorts of rage or anger or all sorts of things because they don't know what to do with it, because someone who caused that pain has never owned up to that pain. And so people take that, for example, we are one of the most fatherless nations in the world, with fathers who have abandoned their children. And a child growing up like that is angry at the father, but doesn't know the father, has never seen him, and just not knowing what to do with that reality builds up this anger. I remember speaking to one young man, he was in his 20s, and he was saying, all I wanted, you know, he confronted the guy who his mother said, that's your father. And he went to the father, and the father rejected him, said, no, he's Malik, he's your bunny. And so the guy was saying, apparently the guy was a wealthy man, and he thought this young man wanted his money. He says, no, Pasteur, I don't even want his money. All I want is for him to acknowledge. And he didn't. And so this guy, who used to be an A student, dropped out of school, has now lost his path in life because somebody could not take responsibility for saying or owning what they've done and saying, I'm sorry. So it's a very important part of our journey as people, as societies, as nations.
Yeah. nie aan die belang van belydenis. Kom ons bind dit in ook met 'n stukkie van u voordrag by Saterdag of dan liewer Sondag se verrigtinge. En u het in daardie spesifieke voordrag en ook belydenis het u sommige datums genoem en het op 'n baie emosionele wyse, aangrypende wyse u voordrag ook afgesluit. I'm going to ask Paul just to play us an insert en dan sal ons graag wil hoor die hele saak van belydenis en om terug te gaan op jou spoor en selfs 'n tweede en 'n derde keer, want dit is nogal vir mense bitter moeilik om dit te doen. Please, Paul.
Brothers and sisters, siblings in Christ, on behalf of the people not here, those hoping for healing outside the walls of our churches, living in our towns and on farms, I want to plea for reconciliation and healing, which is in the Christian tradition a journey, not a once-off event. Starting first by realizing our brokenness and our need for healing. The brokenness in our churches, our endless infighting, the brokenness of our communities, and the brokenness of our nation, and the brokenness of God's creation this side of Africa. We have to realize and ask, Lord, have mercy on us. We are broken. And secondly, we need to create safe spaces for all to enter, not calling each other names except with respect, kindness, and acknowledging their dignity and the right to be in this room, this safe space. Not bringing along symbols of an era bygone which caused fear or suffering to others. Not singing songs about harming others in any way. That's a safe space. And thirdly, we all need to enter with trust and to openness to listen to the stories of others, all the stories of our past, all the dates in our history, 1488, 1652, 1795, 1838, 1879, 1899, 1913, 1948, 1960, and in this 49th year of 16 June here in Soweto, and 1994 and 2007. We should be aware and take heed of the danger of a single narrative in this room. We should be brave to ask the difficult questions. Where is Jocelyn Smith? Why was Oloratu Mongale killed? Why did the murderers of Hendrik Venter got away? And then, fourthly, we should admit our own roles in this history. We and our forebears. So let me say it. I'm sorry. Ek is jammer. I'm sorry.
Daaglikse brood van die lewe en steun en raad. Dit alles en nog meer op 657 AM.
Dominee Jan.
Dankie Jannie. Kyk, as dit gaan oor belydenis, confession, ek dink dis ongelooflik belangrik. It's so important that those who suffered the injustice should hear my confession. It's important for them We cannot proceed with conversations in the direction of reconciliation or restoration if they haven't heard it in my voice that I'm sorry. But even more important, Jannie, I think it is for me to say sorry, to put it in my own words. As long, you know, it's easy to, if someone in my place out there say, well, we're sorry, but it's very difficult. Think about, and you mentioned the example in your own family last night. Dit was nou maar 'n klein knypie gewees waarvoor jou klein kind moet jammer sê. Terwyl die knyp in hierdie land veel groter was. Maar ek moet dit met my woorde sê. En met jou inleiding, en ek het sondag ook gedink aan Psalm 32. In Psalm 32 sê die psalmdigter boan staan van David, dis vir hom nodig om sy skuld te bely, solank as wat hy nie gesê het, ek is jammer, teenoor God, draai en word hy eintlik siek van daardie skuld. And a part of the illnesses in our country, I think, has exactly to do with that. We're not yet in spaces long enough with each other together to really get our own voice, to hear in our own words, I'm sorry for this specific or that specific deed. Heidi het nou veel meer as ek meegemaak met die Waarheid en Versoeningskommissie, maar ek het 2 sessies daarvan destyds, een in die Parel en een in Bloemfontein meegemaak, en ek het gesien wat gebeur wanneer die slagoffer en die persoon skuldig aan die daad by mekaar kon kom, in mekaar se oë kon kyk, en daar 'n opregte belydenis van skuld was teenoor die persoon teenoor wie ek onreg gedoen het, maar natuurlik in teenwoordigheid van God. En daarom is dit nodig dat ek dink as ons regtig vordering wil maak op 'n pad van versoening en heling, sal ons maar weer 'n keer in kamers by mekaar moet kom. Veilige kamers waar ek met my eie stem en met my eie woorde kan sê ek is jammer hieroor. En Psalm 32 se einde is die van genesing, is healing. Dit word selfs 'n loflied tot God vir sy trou, omdat hy ons gehelp het om te sê, ek is jammer.
Ek ken vir Dominee Mos en Klaap baie jare. Dominee Mos, ons kom ver terug. Ek dink amper van dat ek hier in die bediening geland het, het ons al met mekaar skouer geskuur, en was heerlik om u ook te hoor, daar by die Suid-Afrikaanse Raad van Kerke se dag van gebed. Hier is 'n kort uittreksel, a short insert from what you shared there, and perhaps you just want to comment on what was on your heart and what is on your heart in terms of this particular confession that you brought to the congregation. Thanks, Mpo.
Please be seated. We will pray for, as Bishop Sipuka said, our family, as a country, as a society, and in all of its dividedness. Let us pray. Lord, we pray for the church. We pray that it will be true ambassadors of authentic healing and reconciliation. Merciful Lord, hear us. We're going to pray for our government and all leaders from the different spheres of life, that they may lead with wisdom, with humility, with integrity, and respond to the cries of our people with fairness. We pray that, God, you will restore in them the conscience to know that as they serve your people on your behalf, that they will one day give an account before you. Merciful Lord, hear us. We pray for our families, that you will heal the broken relationships, protect our children, help us create homes that are full of love, of joy, and harmony, where every child receives care and support for them to reach their God-given potential. Lord, be merciful upon us. We pray for our unique communities, that we all may be guided by the values of Ubuntu, where there's respect for our common dignity. Lord, be merciful upon us.
Deel ons passie vir die lewe op 657 AM.
I'm so glad that you placed an emphasis especially on the children, Reverend Moss, and that God would protect our children.
Yeah. Thanks, Jani. I think we violate everyone. We violate the children, the gender-based violence and the femicide in our communities is just, off the charts. And everybody is violating everybody else. Everyone who feels themselves to be stronger than another, whether it is men feeling stronger than women, they violate them. Adults feeling stronger than children, they violate them. And we can see that happening in our society all across. So in fact, we can call ourselves a broken society. And we can globalize that and say we live in a broken world. There are wars everywhere, and all of those wars are basically the basic ingredients of what it is we're talking about. People not being able to be self-critical, being able to say, I'm sorry, my role in the head cost, and just feeling that in the end what will decide the outcome is the use of force. And so, yes, the plight of children is an important marker of our society. And that is also the reason, Yanni, that if any section of our community feel themselves targeted for harm, let me put it another way, every part of our society, every section feels themselves targeted for unfair treatment, the children included, the Afrikaner included, the colored community, the white, the English-speaking business community, everybody feels themselves, even the fathers feel themselves violated, the women feel themselves. So everyone is just hurting everybody else. And no one has found a formula for calling a ceasefire on these many battles. And I think that what Yanni shares there about to take the first step as church and say, I'm sorry, that change, that breaks the spiral of war, in whatever shape that war takes. And I think it is the role of the church to give language to a secular society that by and large does not know how to say I'm sorry, doesn't even know the point behind saying I'm sorry. To reference Bishop Tutu once again at the TRC, saying to Mrs. Winnie Mandela when she was at the TRC for the matter of Storm B, South Africans may remember that. Those who are old enough would remember that. And he was trying, Bishop Tutu, to extract from Ms. Mandela the words sorry. He said, please say I'm sorry. You will see how forgiving the people of this country will be. And he basically pleaded. And obviously, it is the role the church must play to give language to people who don't know what to do with their head, don't know the value of saying I'm sorry, don't know how that is a first step to peace building, to breaking the cycle of violence. And I think it's the church that must do this, but particularly, and to reference again the song that Yanni shared, Yanni talked about, the songs that cause fear, you know, the Kill the Boer song. It's a song that our courts have excused as okay, that it does, it's not hate speech, it can't be sung. And our prayer as church is to go beyond what the law says, because the law is limited. With a history such as we have, we knew that apartheid was legal, but wrong at the same time. So, you know, legality doesn't guarantee rightness, and conscience is our only hope. And so to the people who have only law to hang on to, the church can introduce a language that is not in the law, which is, I'm sorry. And we can then break the violence and the peace builders.
Let's listen to a short insert with the prayer and the offering of Reverend Heidi Peterson, and then I'm going to ask her just to comment on that, especially since this is a prayer that has been prayed, and it's some years after, and somehow, why haven't we changed? But let's just first listen to this insert. Thank you, Mpo.
As I lead the plea for healing and reconciliation, I want to anchor it in a familiar hymn of the church, but it has Caribbean origins with a South African perspective. Interestingly enough, the prayer from which I want to read and contextualize is done by South Africans Desmond Tutu, Professor John de Grouchy, and others, and these were written in 1985. Yet the contextuality of today is the same, which then speaks to the truth in our understanding of who we are as God's people. We live in a Good Friday world, but we are an Easter people. Sunday will come. And so the hymn in which I want to lead you and intersperse it with my plea for reconciliation and healing is familiar, so sing with me. Gumbaya, my Lord. Gumbaya, my Lord. Gumbaya. Goodness of my plea is lament, confession, and seeking God's grace. Someone is crying in South Africa, O Lord. Someone that is known because it's personal, someone that isn't known, but because we are a collective in a community, Ubuntu says, I carry the tears of my sister and my brother. Someone's crying in El Dorado Park because 9 young men were shot, 4 had died last week. A young woman was charred after she was raped, and the only remains for her parents was her bones. Someone's crying in Umtata because of what has happened, because of the natural disasters. Someone's crying in our neighborhood, in our church. Someone's crying, and these are the tears of suffering, the tears of weakness and disappointment, the tears of strength and resistance, the tears of the rich and of the poor. Someone is crying, Lord, so hear our plea, redeem our times. Someone's dying, Lord, Gumbaya. Someone's dying, Lord, Gumbaya. Someone's dying.
deel ons passie vir die lewe op 657 AM.
Sorry, I had to edit the inserts for the sake of time, so that also is just a very, very short portion of what you've shared there. Reverend Heidi, it's 40 years. You said 1985. It's 2025. 40 years later, and some people say that we are more divided than we've ever been before. And at the same time, you say it's Friday, but Sunday is coming. What a wonderful remark. Mm-hmm. Help us to understand some of this, please.
I first want to begin with the fact that as a young girl, I didn't have the articulate language to frame prayers or the struggles of a young person in the world and in the society in which I live. But the tools that we were given from very little in our home, second level was in the church, third level was at school, and then fourthly in society, because we are so interconnected, is the powerful tool of music. Yeah. Have some articulation of what we are feeling. One of the songs that I learned as a young girl was indeed Gumbaya. And the understanding of Gumbaya's translation is a plea, an invitation. Come by here, dear Lord. And in that invitation, it is, for me, there are two things. First, it is an invitation to presence, to a power that is higher than us, which is God in his realm as creator. And secondly, it's the understanding and recognition that the power of the Holy Spirit has the transforming power to do the things that we cannot do for ourselves. 40 years later, the struggles are very much the same. Has there been movement? Yes, there's been movement. There's been places where people say, I'm better, I'm healed, I'm the other. I've seen a different side, but there's so much more room for recognizing in our confession, our lament, and in our repentance that there's so much more work to do. In the instance that you had cited earlier, Yanni, and also Moss, where colored people, and perhaps that question comes a little later, where colored people still feel that there's an insufficiency in recognition that I too am a black South African. You are not recognizing me in the affirmative action that the government has started in an effort to correct what is incorrect, in an effort to bring some sense of improvement into a life that was not given to you, that was denied. Gumbaya. And so music plays that part. And so my leading in that was because there's recognition for a collective groaning of the spirit. When words fail us, music is our tool and our place in which we struggle together.
Daar is twee voordragte gelewer tydens die geleentheid. So dit was 'n besige middag, 'n lang middag gewees met baie baie aktiwiteit en sing en spontaniteit en opgewondenheid. As 'n mens nou sou luister na die opname wat jy op die internet vind, dan is dit 'n baie besondere byeenkoms wat daar plaasgevind het. Hierdie spesifieke voordrag is gelewer deur Reverend Molo. Hy is die algemene sekretaris van die Suid-Afrikaanse Raad van Kerke. En hy het die konsep van metanoia, a radical transformation of heart and mind. He introduced that concept and also called for the nation to a new beginning. He said, it's not too late, we can. Let's just listen to a short insert of what he presented there. Thank you, Mpo.
As we work for an authentic healing and reconciliation, we need a new politics. Politics of love, politics of service, politics of dignity. Where contestation for power is based on a difference of how best to unite and serve our people, rather than how to divide us and exploit our fears for naked, unaccountable power.
Politics free of corruption and abuse of power. Politics based on a clear moral vision of the future and inviting all of us to courageous actions to build such a future. We need a cultural mind and a life that leads our imagination away from yesterday's rhetoric of hate, fear, and death to the beautiful poetics of renewal, restitution, and radical love for all people and creation. As the church, we stand in humility, confessing our failure to play our part, and in certain ways, our complicity in the perpetuation of such ugliness. We ask for forgiveness from God, as we affirm the possibility and the power of conversion, metanoia. We still believe in new possibilities of mind and life. This is possible because our people have shown us through the darkest days of apartheid, they still can sing songs of new birth and hope. For us, as people of faith, we know that this is possible because we've heard a voice cry out, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth has passed away, says our Lord." It is possible to have an authentic, healed, and reconciled country where all live sustainable, dignified lives, free of hunger, deprivation, hatred and bigotry, where the pursuit of justice.
Daglikse brood van die lewe en steun en raad. Dit alles en nog meer op 657 AM.
Kom ons kry gedagte of twee oor hierdie voordrag. Dominee Jan, daai metanoia en dan ook the possibility, daai Vrydag en Sondag perspektief, nê. Dit is al aangrypend. Hierdie voordrag het 'n ou dam regtig geraak. Dominee Jan.
Ja nee, ek sit hier en as ek so na die insette luister, dan voel het vir my ek wil nog een keer sondagmiddag beleef. Ja. Dis amper asof by een tweede luister daarna, jy die woorde wat jou getref het op een veel dieper vlak beleef. Net by voorbeeld wat Reverend Molo gesê het oor metanoia, oor bekering, Ek sal nou graag weer na sy hele voordrag wil luister, maar as ek my reg herinner, het hy twee keer gesê, dit is nie 'n eenmalige ding nie, dit is eintlik 'n daaglikse ding. En dit bring my by Heidi se voorbeelde wat sy genoem het en die lied wat sy gesing het, en die beeld van, ons bevind ons op Vrydag, miskien selfs op Saterdag, want Vrydag was die dag van trauma, Saterdag was die dag van hopeloosheid, van die stilte, van die graf is toe, en ons hoop is dood, maar ons weet Sondag kom. Dit was my aangrypende beeld gewees, en in 'n sekere sin as nasie is ons heeltyd, elke dag, op Vrydag, Saterdag. Maar as ek dan luister na die voorbeelde wat Heidi gegee het, dan is dit nie eers voorbeelde van lank gelede nie. Sy sê die lied het haar 40 jaar terug as 'n kind gedra, as 'n jong mens. Maar die voorbeelde wat sy noem is nou, dis verlede week, dis 2 weke terug. Die name wat ek genoem het, is name net uit die afgelope maand se nuus. Dis wat Reverend Moss ook gesê het, en ander sprekers sondagmiddag is, ons is steeds 'n nasie wat ly. En die woord metanoia, bekering, die woord belydenis, die woord vergifnis, dis religieuse taal, maar dis die taal wat ons met mekaar moet, en as ons dan nie die woorde kan sê nie, soos Heidi sê, dan moet ons dit sing. Dan moet ons sing, die nuwe hemel en die nuwe aarde kom. En ek wil miskien maar net van my kant af waarderend sê oor sondagmiddag hoe die muziek my geraak het. Miskien omdat my moedertaal Afrikaans is, toe daar die volkerk sing, die liefde van Jezus is wonderbaar.
Ja.
En soveel so dat die master of ceremonies kon nie ophou lag uiteindelik in haar vreugde nie. Toet ek ervaar, hier beweeg die gees tussen ons, hier is eenheid, hier is ons stem saam oor hoop en versoening. So dit was vir my aangrypende belewenis. Ek sal na al hierdie toesprake weer wil luister.
For the sake of time, I'm just going to play the second insert or the last insert. And that was a message that was delivered by Bishop Sepuka. He's the president of the South African Council of Churches. And the title was From Family Wrangling to Family Restoration. The metaphor of South Africa being a family, but a family divided, a family struggling, perhaps a family Saturday family. Let's just listen to this insert, please, Mpo, and then I would like to hear from also from Reverend Moss and Reverend Heidi what it is that you hear. Ja, ek wonder of daar fout is met daardie opname. Maak nou nie saak nie. Kom ons gaan om dit
to famously describe our country as a rainbow nation. Well, I appreciate this beautiful imagery. Given that we see this country as our home, we can also describe ourselves as a family, but a family with disputes. We gather today not in denial of these conflicts, but because of them. Like siblings who have inherited a complicated family legacy, we find ourselves caught in cycles of mutual accusation, each side holding pieces of truth, each side feeling unheard, and each side talking past each other rather than to each other. The fact of the matter is that we are a wrangling family. The recent events that have dominated our public conversation, the exodus of some citizens claiming persecution, the debates about the land and genocide, the accusations flying back and forth, those are not just political disagreements. They are the symptoms of a family that has never fully learned how to be a family. And let us be honest about this family wrangling. On one hand, we hear you oppressed, humiliated, killed us over many decades, but we did not kill you, but let you live and keep your property and wealth. You are not grateful. Where is the willingness to share the wealth accumulated during the colonial and apartheid eras? Where is the repentance, the truth-telling, openness to embrace our cultures and languages as we have embraced yours? We speak your languages with fluency and embrace your culture, and you make no attempt to speak ours and embrace us. From the other side, we hear, where is the acknowledgement of corruption that has become endemic and is destroying this country? Where is the accountability for collapse of structures and systems that once work, for municipalities that no longer function, for infrastructure that crumbles, and for services that fail the very people they were meant to serve? Your policies chase away investment while you embrace a BEE capitalism that serves only the connected few. Crime terrorizes us, our communities, while those in power are well protected. And in the middle, our colored brothers and sisters cry out, during apartheid, we were denied rights and protection because we were not considered white enough. Now, in the post-apartheid era, we find ourselves not black enough to benefit from affirmative action policies. Where do we belong in this family?
Daaglikse brood van die lewe en steun en raad. Dit alles en nog meer op 657 AM.
Reverend Heidi, a family at war with itself. Moss, Reverend Moss, kan ons bietjie daar gesels asseblief? En elkeen van ons het ons eie narratief, nee, en hy sê, ja, maar, daar, ek sê altyd die woordkie maar, but, in the mouth of a person, it's a very dangerous word, because it simply means, I haven't hurt you. Reverend Heidi, if you think about this contribution.
I got stuck on where he spoke about the fact that we have, as a Rangling family, an inheritance of a complicated family legacy.
Yeah.
For me, the emphasis here is on the complicated legacy.
Mm.
And in that complicated legacy is, who is the one to shape the narrative? Is it the politician? Is it the church? Do we do this together? Do we sit together and find ways of doing it? Because there seems to be an exclusionary element in terms of the conversation story holders.
Mm-hmm.
So there's where I'm stuck, is in the story holders. We are all witness bearers to what has happened with the complicated legacy. We are witness bearers. But now the story holders, those that need to be peace builders, those that need to be peace seekers, those that need to be the accountability watchdogs. I'm there. I'm stuck there. The story holders, how do we hold the story together in its fragmentation, in its scarring, but also in those who are saying, I've put my hand up to do this. Let's work towards a better society. Jan Libbe spoke about forgiveness in the admission of his apology. In that apology was the need for us to, how do we now go together? So that's where I am. Story holders, how do we hold the story of what can be new and what can be different, what God is wanting to do in the efforts that are there already? How do we hold the story of renewal and healing and reconciliation going forward?
So in the last couple of minutes, we've got about 5 minutes. Reverend Moss, let's start with you. What now? Where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? Yeah. And how do we go from here?
I think there's a marvelous word in Scripture where Jesus, one of the last words of Jesus to the church or to his disciples was that we are his witnesses. It is one of the most frightening things he asked us to do, to be a witness of who he is, who he was when he was in the world, the light of the world. And he said that he's not going back where he came from, to be with the Father, and we are the witnesses of this. And yes, as a nation, we are a nation that has lost its plot in many ways. And there's a sense of despair, a sense of hopelessness, because nobody has, or at least we don't have a national vision of who we are and where we're going. I think with all of the 30 years of trying to reinvent ourselves as a society, we have a constitution that is one of the finest constitutions in the world, but we don't trust it also. We are like orphans who have no father, who have no one to say, no, you are wrong. Your example about your little grandkids who couldn't say, I'm sorry, but at least they have you to require them to say so. Now, in a society where nobody is able to do this, it's a very challenging, let's say, Good Friday moment, to use the metaphor that I'd used. I'm reminded by words spoken from a prison by somebody, Martin Luther King, years ago, and he was writing to I think he was writing to the Christian community, and he was saying, we are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. And he was writing this in a letter from a Birmingham jail. So he had such clarity of vision of who we are and what our next steps should be, that what we should be doing is to firstly have clarity about the fact that we are one nation. There is no escape route for any of us who are here. And I like the Afrikaners. The Afrikaners have it in their name, that they are Afrikaners, which is a very beautiful way of identifying with the land, identifying with its people. So, as South Africans, all of us, we have to own that identity and recognize that we have to make this country work. Each being able to contribute to its possibilities. And I think that we have an opportunity with the national dialogue that's been presented to us as a society to sit together and hammer out what it is, what are our aspirations, what are our hopes, what are our fears. Can we have a new covenant with each other that can help us move forward? And I think as church, we can serve that process better.
Ek moet daar vir die onderbreek en baie, baie dankie. Thank you so much, colleagues, for your participation. Deelnemers aan hierdie program was Irwin Moss en Kla. Hy is algemene sekretaris van die Evangelical Alliance in South Africa, Dominee Jan Lubbe, moderator van die NG Kerk, en ook Reverend Heidi Peterson van die United Congregational Church. Thank you so much. Much appreciated. Thank you, listeners. Thank you to Mpo, and may God bless you richly. We'll speak again soon. Thank you and goodbye.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.